chapters that I just go to over and over again. There are some of these chapters that have so much in them that you just think, I just think a certain chapter and it covers about five or six different things. And whenever I'm in trouble in a certain area, I just go to this chapter and it helps out. Proverbs 3 is one of those goodies. Everyone got it? Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read together. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Is that a rich section or what? That is just stuffed. Okay? And if I did things fairly, I probably would take each section and have an hour or two on both, but in all of them. But I don't have the time to do that. What I want you to do is just get a hunger for this chapter, to the point where you say, I know where that chapter is. I know there's rubies laying around there. I know there's diamonds laying around there. I just need to go there and pick them up. And if I succeed in doing something of that, it will have been a blessing this morning, because you'll know where to mine some of these good things at. Okay? So that's what I want to cover today. And I want to hit one of the treasures that's within this. Is let love and faithfulness never leave you. Okay? Don't ever let them leave you. Bind them around you. Wear them like a necklace. Hang them right there. I know people that have necklaces and they're afraid of losing them. Do this. Did you ever notice that? It's still there. See that? Still there. You bind them around there like a necklace, and even though you can't see it in the mirror, you're just kind of conscious that it's there. Don't you watch people do that? I see people do that. Sometimes it's, they play with it a little bit. Right, right. So when it talks about binding it around you like a necklace, you know what that means. You're just conscious of it being there all the time around you, and it ornaments you and sets off something that just makes a much more beautiful person to have this on. You put it on there like that and write them. Write them where? Write it on the tablet of your heart. So there's a couple of key things that are just really important in here. And we're going to do a little bit of a word study here on the one that the NIV translates love. I don't think other translations translate it that way. What else do we have? What is it? Kindness and truth. So they're taking kindness as the first part of it. What else do we have? Loyalty and faithfulness. Okay. The Hebrew word is chesed. I'm sorry, there is no English equivalent to the first letter. It's kind of a rough H. Sometimes when you see it transliterated, it's H with a dot underneath of it. It has kind of a hard sound. Chesed. And this is this. And what I did one afternoon is as I just took a dictionary out. Ah! Zap. I won't be able to see for 6 years now. Okay. See that this character, this, if you like to doodle, you can try to catch that symbol. I mentioned to you that Hebrew was consonants with vowels underneath. Here's the consonants. They go right to left. That's the first letter, chesed. Here's the vowels underneath. Here's the transliteration of it. There should be a little dot underneath it, but I didn't have it in my font script at the time. Okay, and it occurs lots of times. In the singular form, it's 234 times, and it occurs 125 times in Psalms. It's just a word that occurs over and over again. So when you do a word study, the problem is not finding enough to get a sense of the word. The problem is getting enough time to do the study. It takes a while to crank through on this. Okay, what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to get a handle on these things that we are not to let go of, that we're to never let them leave us because they're that important. So what's it say? This is straight from a dictionary. It's good to use dictionaries here. It says, obligation to the community in relation to relatives, friends, guests, masters, servants. It's unity, solidarity, loyalty. Now, you notice the loyalty is in bold print. It was in the Hebrew dictionary as well. It means that you hold certain relationships and you treasure them and you stay faithful to them. Okay? They're not things that you just lightly let go of. And the Bible says, you do that. You do that. There are relationships that you have that before God are never to be let go of. There's to be a loyalty to them. Now, God has this kind of relationship to us. He shows us chesed. He gives us this loyalty, and the loyalty is based on what He has provided. That's why it's translated kindness. We don't deserve it. God has done that. The expense in it is the death and resurrection of His Son. That's why it's called love. Okay? And we're to hold on to His loyalty to us. We're never to let go of that, but we're to respond with loyalty and kind. He has loved us into love. He has chesed us into chesed. Okay? And we are to pick up that form. Bereath. The word bereath there is the word covenant. If you got some Jewish friends, they may attend a synagogue that's called B'nai Bereath or something like that. The word bereath means covenant. It says a bereath is initiated by a ceremony. Chesed results from closer relationships between parties, but the obligations are basically the same. Do you understand that? The obligations are basically the same as if there were a formal covenant involved. And in fact, many of these flow from within the covenant relationship between God and us and between covenants that we make with others. If you're a Christian, do you know that you're in a covenant? You're in a covenant between God and you. And the foundation for that covenant is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're married, you are in a covenant. You made a covenant commitment with somebody. If you bound yourself in a friendship covenant, you're in a covenant with somebody. In all of those, chesed is to play a key, a very important role. To get back to something we were discussing the last time, when you're involved in a church, when you associate with brothers and sisters of in the Lord, and it's a good quality thing and the teaching is good in that, there ought to be chesed that flows. There's a loyalty, yes.
You said a covenant with friends. And the way I understand covenant, there has to be a shedding of blood. Like when you're...
No, that's not required. There's covenant between David and Jonathan. No shedding of blood involved. Okay? They really held covenant with each other. And you can really see that loyalty, can't you? Do you notice that Jonathan keeps track of Dave? He knows how he's doing. He's loyal to David, even when it costs him. He's loyal. Okay? Don't let that ever leave you. It isn't just when somebody's doing right that you're loyal to them. It's when they're struggling that you're loyal to them as well. So there's a time in David's life, for example, where he was about to lose it. He was worn out. He was pooped. He was tired in his Christian life. And Jonathan went and helped him find strength. Do you know the section that I'm talking about? Where? In the Lord. That's what it says. It says, he was faithful to Jonathan and to Jonathan's descendants after him. You can see that. Providing for them, caring for them from the king's table. The book of Proverbs talks about your friends, but it also talks about the friends of your parents. You ever see those kinds of things? Those are things that you're to observe. And especially within the Christian circles, you will find out that when you develop good, godly friendships, that there's a loyalty that goes with that. Now, it's not a blind loyalty, but it isn't something that's treated lightly and passed away. It's something that you weigh. It's an important facet. Did you have a... I hate to say more than spiritual within that, but it's a spiritual commitment. And you can you see the words in here? Loyalty, faithfulness. You watch the way some of the words are translated when they're in combination. For example, if you get down to C, is it one C? And it says Ish Chesed. Do you see that? It's in italics. Wherever the Hebrew is, it's in italics. Do you see Ish Chesed? See it? Look how it's translated. See, a person of Chesed is a confidant. There are things that you can share, important things that you don't want running around all over. And they'll hold that in trust, and they know how to do that. They're a friend who has loyalty involved. It's not just, oh, this is a choice morsel. Moody said a rumor can get around the earth three times before truth takes off its boots. But not with a confidant, not with the Ish Chesed, because they know that that's not right. That would hurt their friend. And there's a loyalty involved with that. Don't let that leave you. Okay? For those of you that are in a covenant with your husband and wife, count that loyalty very precious. Don't let that leave you. You say, well, sometimes it's really hard. It really is. One of the things I teach in pre-marriage counseling is marriage is hard. Now, young people who are just gaga over one another don't want to hear that a lot. But I say, no, listen, marriage is not easy. It's tough. You're going to be tempted a lot of times to let go of the bond and bail out and go somewhere else. Don't do it. Don't let Chesed leave you. You hold on to it with a loyalty. It's important. It's wisdom to do that. It's wisdom to do that. So just catch, this is a rich, rich word. Loyalty. Faithfulness, a unity, a solidarity. And Anshe Chesed, Anshe is the plural of Ish in Hebrew. It's one of those weird plurals. Is a devout man. You know what devout means, don't you? There are Catholics and then there are devout Catholics. You know the difference? There are Mormons and then there are devout Mormons. Okay, there are Christians and there are devout people. Now, God sorts them out better than that. There are some Christians that aren't Christian in that framework. But devout means it's on your inside. And men of Chesed or women of Chesed are devout people. They establish their loyalties and they're not flimsy loyalties. It isn't, well, you made one mistake, you're out of here. To get to that point is a major crisis. Okay, don't let that leave you. Learn how to form long-lasting relationships and hold them. Hold them tightly. don't let them leave. Okay? Neat word, isn't it? Okay, so the translators struggle with how to translate it. Do we translate it love? Because it really is love. But it's not the other Hebrew word for love. Okay? And it is kindness. When you're committed to somebody like that, that is a tremendous kindness to them. So we want to translate it that way. And isn't it wonderful that they had to struggle with how to translate that thing? You see right where it is. And it's loyalty, but it isn't just loyalty. It's deeper than that. Okay, that's one of the things that I wanted you to see. The other thing is the second word in the group. The word for truth, emeth, is steadiness, reliability. Here, men of emeth are reliable people. You can trust them. They're there. They're steady. By the way, if you took these two together and you looked at the strength of a church, provided they were on in a godly way, if they have chesed ve'emeth, they're a solid church. It isn't just they have a nice pastor at the time. The depth is deeper than that. Make sense to you? Because there's this core within there that's just really important. Permanence, continuance, lasting kindness, fidelity, faithfulness, truth. When it's used in connections with other things, it's things that don't deviate from something. They are, for example, use it with the word that's God, and it's the true God. It's the one who is God, was God, always will be God, is just steady. Okay? Get the flavor for the two words? Now you just got to put it in the context of your life, because if you hold on to those, if you never let them leave you, what will they do? If you bind them around your neck, if you write them on the tablet of your heart, you will win favor with God. Now, some people say, well, you're not supposed to win favor, but this isn't what the scripture says. You'll win favor with God and man. Did you know that God enjoys loyal people? What did he say about Moses? He said, Moses was faithful in all my house. You sense the sense there? God enjoys Moses. He says, there he is, a rock. While all the people were headed the other direction, Moses stayed right in there with me. He was loyal to me. He showed chesed with me. He stayed that way. He was a man of chesed and emeth. He was a man of covenant, committed, loyal, true. He was a combination of all of that. And God says, my favor is with him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a steadfast man in his generation. Okay? Now, beyond that, if you love friends and spouses that way, you gain favor with them. I'll tell you, a woman in this room who I have just tremendous favor towards, right there. She has stuck with me for 27 years. She knows more of my faults than any other soul on this earth. And she still loves me. Can you imagine that? I think she's wonderful. Even when she's not here, I talked about her. Isn't that true? For those of you who have been here in years past? Okay. Got a lot of favor with me. She's done a lot of good things with me. She's been loyal to me over many years. And she has my favor. Okay. Now, if she hadn't been faithful all these years, I might still love her, but not have the favor. Do you understand? Okay. And I hope it goes the other way. I think it does. That okay, sweet. If you'd have said no, I just fold up my notebook and go home. Within that. But do you see how important these things are? There are these relationships in your life that need to be built on these two things. They need to be things that are like a necklace to you, that you bind around your neck, and you say, it's the kind of thing where you say, when I get married, I get married. I'm not making a prenuptial agreement to get divorced. I'm not saying, well, you get the truck and I get the car and you get the house and I get the cottage and you get the lake and I get the mountain or whatever goes like that. You don't do that. I was listening to Bruce Williams the other day. You know, he's on the radio. And somebody was talking about a prenuptial agreement and he says, well, I don't have any trouble with that. I went, Bruce, what is the matter with you? You don't understand some basic things, do you? You hear you're giving advice out over the air. Ugh, bad news. Within that, the scriptures teach us that we are to hold on to this loyalty that has its place, and it's not trivially given. Okay? And young people, when you get married, you just don't marry anybody. You pick them hard. Let them be grilled first. That's okay. It's okay. But when you bind the knot, you stick with them and you stay loyal to them. And you learn other relationships in your life that are bound together with these things. They're bound together with loyalty and they're bound together with truth, and they just keep going. That kind of a relationship will stand rebukes. If you're flaky and somebody rebukes you, you say, we're out of here. There was an individual a few years ago who, as best I can tell, left the church so that they wouldn't have anybody rebuke them because they were involved in something they should not have been involved in. But in order to be able to do that, they needed to put distance between a lot of relationships. And it wasn't until they could break all of those relationships where they were comfortable to sin. Excuse me? It should have been. It should have been. You can almost take a calendar and back it up to here and say the problem happened here. It didn't happen when things fell apart. It happened 2 years before. It happened right there. When Hesed and Emeth were broken. Because you want the kind of relationships where when you do something stupid, somebody can come up to you and say, Doug, that is really dumb. And you're going to be really sorry for that. And if I weren't your friend, I wouldn't have told you that. But I'm loyal to you. I'm not going to sit by and watch you do it. Like a necklace. Like a necklace. There's a time you need to do that. And you weigh those. Yeah, that's right. But it reaches a time where it becomes either the crisis makes it or breaks it. If you just kind of let things going on, they will just kind of go on. And what happens is you gradually lose your influence. It's kind of like church discipline. Church discipline is built on this. The greatest church discipline occurs when there was a precious relationship at stake. When, for example, let's suppose you really messed up. Okay, you did something that was blatantly wrong that requires the church to act in church discipline to you, and somebody comes up to you and who you hardly know and says, do you realize that by having done this, I'm going to break fellowship with you? You know what they're going to say? What do you mean break fellowship? I hardly know who you are. There's nothing there. There's nothing solid. There's nothing pulling there. The deeper the relationship, the more it can stand the other way. And it's loyalty to the person, not loyalty to the treasure of being not at war with them. Does that make sense to you? Okay, these two things that are just important factors, you remember those. You remember this. Wear it like a necklace. Constantly remember there are certain relationships. One of those is between you and God. Is your time with God kind of viewed that way? I mean, is there a time in your life where you just regularly meet with God and you're just loyal to that? grab hold of that. Grab hold of that. Say it's important, it's precious. Say, God can count on me being there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a person of chesed. And same thing in these other relationships. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. This kind of loyalty is important. Okay, and you win favor with God, and you win favor with people. These are long terms. They're in the asset spiritual column of your spiritual ledger. Just say, that's a blessing. That will come back for you. These come back. Deep Christian friendships that we have come back to us again and again. Before we left, there was a couple in the church that said, you know your kids can call us anytime. I mean, we'll be here for them. Just say, and we'll be there. If you want us to check on them, we'll be right there. We don't consider that an infringement of our liberty. Comes back, doesn't it? Just in, we've ministered to that family. We've shown chesed wa'emeth, and they have got a big warm spot in their heart for us. And man, is that a blessing. Hold on to that. Never leave that. Don't let it forsake you. It's a blessed thing. Be careful when you let go of relationships like that. Okay? Isn't that beautiful? See, I got to learn that, man. I got to learn that. I got to form those kinds of relationships. Do it. Do it. You bet. Yeah, don't be trivial about it. Not everybody's fit for that kind of a circumstance. But you need to know they're out there, and you need to, you need to have these kind of people in your life. And you know, God provides them. God provides them. Sometimes they don't come in the shapes and sizes we wanted. Sometimes they're inconvenient. But they're important. Okay? Then you win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now here's the next treasure. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. What's the proverb saying? You know, there are a lot of times in life where you get to a point and God says this, and your feelings and your thoughts, and those other things around you say, this will not work. God, it won't work. It can't work. You don't understand. Your way won't work. That's when this passage cuts in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Now, Saul didn't learn that. Saul didn't learn on it. God defined kingship and he defined the priesthood in a certain way. God told Saul, you wait for me here. I will show up at the right time. And Saul's waiting and he's looking. And his soldiers are starting to desert him. And the Philistines are gathering. And he's beginning to sweat it out. And it's starting to get really tough. He's thinking, man, if I don't take some action real quick, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose everything. And finally, he takes over the priesthood. He offers the sacrifice. Just as he does that, what happens? Samuel shows up and says, what are you doing? I saw my soldiers were deserting, and I realized that we were going to lose the war and all this. He says, oh, what's the matter? He did what was right in his own eyes. Religion was a means to an end. His religion was a means to keep his soldiers from deserting. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. Things are right before God. You do them because they're right before God. When you understand they're right before God, when you start getting really nervous and think, oh God, I don't know whether this will work. This is the time where you trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you don't lean on your own understanding. You don't put your weight on this and say, well, this is what I trust in. And this is gonna hold. Do that. And if you do that, And in all your ways acknowledge. I like my own translation better here. In all your ways know him. It's the verb to know. It isn't just acknowledge. It's not like reciting the name of God and everything one just becomes wonderful. It's in all your ways know him. In relationship to learning to understand the ways with the opposite sex. In all your ways know him. Do it his way. In handling your money, in all your ways, know him. In the matter of raising your children, in all your ways, know him. In every way, know him. And what will he do? He will. He will direct your path. He will flatten your path. He will straighten out your path. The word in Hebrew for upright is the word yasar, and it means straight, direct, flat. You think, well, I got a mountain to overcome. You know what? God can flatten mountains. You say, well, I got this huge valley to go through. You know what? God can fill up valleys. In all your ways, just know him, and he will flatten out your path. He will direct your path. He will go before you, and he will bring you through it. But in order for that to take place, you must trust in him. In him. Remember going to surgery. You're in this gurney. It's kind of like a little bit like ER. You're down there and the tiles of the ceiling are whipping past you. Thinking, the Lord is my shepherd. I wasn't thinking, the doctor is my shepherd. I don't have anything to worry about. I wonder if he got a good night's sleep. Because there's a difference, isn't there? If your trust is in somewhere else, then God isn't straightening out your path. You're wandering. Yeah, and peace. God can give you peace in the weirdest situations. You ever felt that? Just the peace of God. When you're not supposed to have it, and he just says, I'm here. It's all right. It's all right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him. In all your ways, know him. In all the patterns of your life, know him. And he will direct your path. He will flatten out the mountains. He will fill up the valleys. He will bring you straight across. He will do that. Isn't that exciting? Don't you need to know where that is? Just because there's so many things in your life where you're just thinking, God, I'm having trouble here. Houston, we have a problem. It's a good line. Good line. And then the one that comes on to that just follows hard on to it, doesn't it? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own. Fear the Lord. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. As odd as it seems, God does know more than Doug. He really does. He really does. And so you respect him. God, if you said it, and I'm sure you said it, and then I just need to follow through on that. Fear the Lord, shun evil. And this will bring health to your body. One of the sections we got is on anxiety. Some of the folks in the Christian framework are professional worriers. I mean, they're really good at it. It'll bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth. With the first fruits of your crops, not with the last fruits. I talk to some people who give for the Lord and they give them the last fruits. Not the same. Not the same. You give the first fruits, then you have to worry about him taking care of you the rest of the month. If you give him the last fruits, you already made it through the month. It's a cop-out. You don't have to trust him that way. You say, God, here's for getting me through. Huh? I did. Remember the thing I shared last night about getting out of the Navy? Well, why don't I just stay in for 20, get out, and then I don't have to worry about how I'm going to be provided for. Oh, idolatry, Doug. Okay, well, what do you want to do? Well, honor God with the first fruits, giving it off the top. And then if you get through, it wasn't because you made it through, it's because He brought you through. And you look at God in a different way. It's a different way to approach life. First fruits, not last fruits. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. God has really been good to us. I'm just amazed at the distance we've come. His kindness. He's just good. Then there's this, and we got to close on this note. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. I mean, if you're God's, if you belong to God, you're going to get it. Do you know that? You're just going to get it. You're going to do something wrong and nobody else gets caught and you get caught. Hallelujah. You say, why should I rejoice in that? Oh, don't despise the Lord's discipline. Why? Don't resent His rebuke either. When God says that's wrong and you're thinking, well, you just embarrassed me in front of a bunch of other people. Thanks a lot. Don't despise His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. Being disciplined is a mark of love. Okay? Remember that from God to you and apply that from you to your children. Okay? This over and over and over and over again, I have used this with my own children. If I'm going to discipline my children the way God wants me to discipline them, there are two things that need to be between me and my children here. Do you see them? One is love. The other is delight. It's delight. Okay? You cannot discipline your children right if you don't love them. And if you're not delighted in things about them the way God has made them, the way God has gifted them, the way God has given them a personality, to be able to see what that looks like under the hand of God and just to enjoy it. Okay? And it may be different from you. This is where some people go wry. They want to kind of live out their lives through their children when their children are gifted in a different way. If you're a football player and you have this nice young boy who grows up to be a great pianist, you think, why this? Okay, not saying, isn't that magnificent? Isn't, son, play me another round. I can't do that. It also tells you that, how does this work with God? God disciplines those He loves like a father, the son in whom He delights. Does God delight in you? I mean, I know He died for me. Does He delight in me? Does He enjoy the fact that I'm in His family? Does He? I mean, does He have a delight? When one person repents of his sin, what happens? The angel, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Well, that's not the angels rejoicing. Who's doing it? No, God doesn't rejoice. Yes, He does. It's one of the minor prophets. I will rejoice. I will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Okay, I used to sing that in church. Who's doing the rejoicing? God is. God is. There's some people who have a kind of warped idea of God. They have a kind of distorted sense about His holiness, and they don't think there's any room that God would enjoy them. And as a result, they don't enjoy God. Okay, that's why I like the Mueller book, Delighted in God. Delighted. I enjoy God. God made me the way He did. He redeemed me from the way I wasn't supposed to be and my rebellion from Him. He gifted me in a way that pleases Him. He wants it to be used in a certain way. And when I live that way, God enjoys me. He delights in me. So don't chafe under God's discipline, and don't chafe under his rebuke. There's a reason for those good things. Yes.
Okay. People that were raised to the wrath of God and not the love of God.
Yes.
How do you come to these people? One in particular, my father.
Well, one is to pray. Okay. Second is there are certain sections of Scripture that are just designed to teach that. Luke 15 is one of those key passages. Everyone know when I say Luke 15, what I'm talking about? That's another chapter where you just say, I just want to know that chapter. I want to know it. Why? That's the prodigal son. But more than the prodigal son, it's the prodigal son's father. That's the focus. The father waited. The father waited till the kid finally came to his senses. And when the son came home, what did he do? He went bananas. He really did. This guy threw an absolute feast. It was so huge in his scope that the other son was just irritated. He killed the fatted calf. He put a ring on his finger. He put sandals on. The guy went bonkers. You say, did you know that God is like that? So there is rejoicing over one sinner who repents. My son who is dead, he said, is alive, and I must celebrate. Isn't that a neat picture of God? So one of the things to do is give him the scriptures and say, Dad, you never really caught a good picture of what God was like. Here's a wonderful picture that Jesus gave to illustrate the nature of God. Because he is holy, and there's a place for his wrath, but there's a tremendous place for his delight. It's all in deserve. Yeah, sad. Because holiness goes with it, probably. Yeah, that's right. It's a package deal, right? Okay. Well, I just want to encourage you. Chapter 3 of Proverbs is loaded. There are diamonds and rubies laying around in that chapter. There are things that will bless your life for years and years to come. And not only your life, but the life of your children and your children's children. And you just must grasp these. You must bind them around your neck. You must write them on the tablets of your heart. You must learn to, when you're in these positions where you're tempted to either trust your own way because that's the only way you see things going together, but you know that the Lord has said otherwise, you must lean to let go of your own understanding and just trust Him and let Him guide your ways before you. And you need to reject being wise in your own eyes. And you'll find out it brings health to you. And things that would just crush you under its weight, that doesn't have to happen. And you need to love God experientially with your pocketbook, with your checkbook, with your money market account, with your retirement, with all of those things. And trust Him with the first fruits of it so that it's really trust and it's not just something that's after the fact. You just need to do that. And you need to treasure the Lord's discipline. Praise God. He does discipline everyone who is His. He disciplines. Don't chafe under that. Thank God for that. Because He does that for those whom He loves as a Father, the Son, and He delights in. Great chapter. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, again, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you for the treasures in this chapter. I thank you for the way that it blessed my life over and over again. Thank you for giving it to me, to all of your children, calling others to be your children. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.